Welcome to the Sunday Jazz Spotlight. I'm your host, Dwayne Benton. A great show lined up for you today. He is a Grammy Award-winning jazz and gospel music producing hitmaker. What can be said about Victor Caldwell? We find out next. Welcome back to the Sunday Jazz Spotlight. You're listening to the music of Victor Caldwell. He's our special guest today, and we're so glad to welcome him into the Gospel Jazz Radio Studios. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great. Thank you for having me.
Listen, I am excited, super excited to talk to you because I think I really need more than an hour to really talk to you because you have so much music under your belt. So let's go back. Let's talk about Victor Caldwell. Who in the world is this guy that everybody knows in Nashville, Tennessee? And if you don't know him, you really need to go back and do a Google on this guy. Who is Victor Caldwell?
A basic guy who does what everybody else does.
Oh, come on.
you practice and you try to perfect whatever your craft or your talent or your gifts happen to be.
Why are you so well known?
I am probably, if I'm well known like you say, I'm probably well known because of the people that I have worked with, probably more than what, you know, just the fact that I'm on the record. It's the people that I've worked with that those people know, and by or through them, they happen to notice maybe some of the names on the credits. Of course, today we don't see a whole lot of credits because everybody's streaming and buying online. But yeah, back in the day, you know, you could read the credits because that's how I bought all my records. I looked at the credits,
line and bought notes, records
based on the musicians that were on the records.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah. So let's go back. Let's introduce, and for those who don't know exactly who Victor Caldwell is, you've worked with some of the greatest artists today in this industry and yesterday. Can you give me a few names? I have some, but I'm gonna let you do it.
You probably got to do more than name it. I try not to keep up. I just try to work.
Really? Wow.
I'll name some different genres. How about that? That might make it easy.
Okay.
I work with Wynonna Judd.
Wow.
Let me jump to another genre, Whitney Houston.
Okay, we got to talk about that. Can we come back to that in a minute?
That's fine. Okay. I jumped to another one, Joe Sample.
Wow.
Kirk Whalen.
Yeah. Can I throw this one on the gospel side? Smokey Norville.
Smokey Norville, Donnie McClurkin, C.C. Winans.
Wow. Let's go back and dive into this thing. How did you become synonymous with the gospel sound today? How'd that happen? Were you working on things? Were you looking for people to bring into your platform? What were you doing?
That question goes way back, but it sounds like you're talking about kind of today more than way back.
Today your name is synonymous as one of the greatest producers of some of today's top gospel artists. So, I mean, it didn't just start today. I know it started back then. So let's go back. I'm willing.
Well, I guess it probably started with just doing some BB and CC stuff, working on when they were the duo versus they are both single artists now, mm-hmm. you know, solo artists. Yeah. Then, but when they were a duo, you know, acts like that. But as far as hitting the scene, of course, Whitney Houston was never a gospel artist, but the song that she did on that soundtrack, The Bodyguard, was a Christian gospel song.
Yeah.
So even though we've worked with some secular artists also, the things that they have called us to do or wanted us to kind of enhance was a gospel song on that particular CD soundtrack, whatever it happened to be.
Yeah. So the particular song from the Bodyguard soundtrack that you produced it?
Well, I am one of the musicians on it. I am the drummer on it, believe it or not, because it's the drum program.
Okay.
Program the drums. I play bass guitar on it. I'm also an engineer. I went to school for engineering, so I engineered the track and the vocals, which was half of the crew of Take Six sang on it. So I engineered the vocals. So that's, you know, I'm kind of a jack of all trades. You know? so I do a little bit of everything.
So is it a fair statement to say that maybe Victor started out as a church musician?
It is the statement to say. It's not fair. That's where I started. My dad's a minister.
Yeah.
But my dad was also a musician. He used to be a band director, so he played multiple instruments.
Wow.
So my brother and I both grew up listening and watching him. And what he did was either in a band room or in a church setting.
Yeah.
And so that's where we grew up, listening to choirs, eventually playing for choirs, and that kind of thing, but it branched out, you know, over time.
Yeah. It's Victor and Cedric. You both work in the same sort of field as far as producing, directing, playing.
We play, well, his main instrument is piano.
Yeah.
My main instrument, I really never had a main instrument till I hit the 11th grade.
Really?
And then all of a sudden, my dad, out of the blue, bought me a bass guitar.
Mm-hmm.
And I just took hold of that, and all of a sudden, that kind of became the instrument that a lot of people know me for. I started out at a younger age playing piano and trumpet, but all of a sudden, I guess he needed somebody else to cover the other aspect of the so-called group, because my dad would play saxophone, my brother would play piano. My dad decided he needed a bass player, so
yeah.
he bought me a bass guitar, and from there on, I became more of a bass player than anything. That's what I have got calls for.
Yeah,
you know.
So Beverly Crawford, I understand you were a part of the arranging on her Essential Beverly Crawford. Now, let me say this, Victor. I've kind of looked through your catalog, a little bit of songs that you've been associated with. It seems like you've done a lot of the best of Essentials, the collaborative sort of projects. Any particular reason why?
I don't know if I can even answer that question.
Like, okay.
That might be a question for someone else to actually have to answer why it's ended up like that.
Well, I mean, you've done quite a few. I'm looking at the 20th Century Masters, and this one's called The Best of CC Winans. You produced it.
Okay, well, that one, if it's The Best of CC, her first solo record, we produced, Sid and I. So we kind of started out her solo career as far as together, so to speak. And she decided to, you know, do a solo record. We were the ones that she called, so, and we did the whole record, so
yeah,
that kind of started it. And we've done a couple of others in between, because she's done multiple records. She jumped around and grabbed some other people for other records, and she came back to us on one called the Throne Room.
Yes, I love that.
And we, it seems like whenever she comes to us, we end up doing the whole record, and it ends up being very concept oriented. I don't know if you've noticed,
yeah,
but
intentional.
From the theme, the title of the record, to every song on the record is very theme-oriented.
Yeah.
It's almost like a movie.
Right.
It starts here, and we're going to take you through the storyline all the way to the end.
So let's
that's good, because that's what we like to do. And I like doing theme music even with my own personal music. It's kind of theme-oriented.
Yeah.
Welcome to the throne. Welcome to the place where it all got started. Bow down in his presence and worship him. Welcome to the throne. Beyond the veil, only those who know and love him come boldly before his throne and cry, holy, 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 cry out, holy,
Let's go back and talk a little bit about Whitney, since you mentioned BB and CeCe is obviously have been talked about many a times in many platforms, that BB and CeCe had a very close and personal relationship with Whitney Houston. Is that how you made the connection with Whitney?
Actually, yes, but kind of more through BB, probably more than through CeCe at that time, because at that time, the labels, a lot of labels were calling BB to come in. You know, they have this artist and they wanted him to come and work with the artist and produce something on it. So a lot of times when that happened, he would just call the people that was kind of working behind the scenes with him.
Right.
So he ended up calling my brother, because at the time my brother was the MD for the BB and CeCe band. I wasn't out there on the road with them. I was at home working, doing studio gigs, engineering, playing, that kind of thing. Yeah. But anytime that he called my brother called me. So we just always teamed up on anything that BB would call him for. We ended up being the team doing the arrangement, the production of it, the engineering, the whole nine yards. The only thing we weren't doing would be, you know, the lead vocal and that kind of thing.
Thank you. there an arsenal of music in Victor Caldwell's bank or vault that have yet to be released? And perhaps you've even put names of particular artists that you think should do this song. Are you guys always creating and just putting it aside?
We're always creating. I'm always creating, but not necessarily for a particular person. I tend not to write for an artist. I tend to just write what God is hitting me with and inspiring in me. And I just write it. And wherever it seems to flow after it's done, it's like, that sounds like something that this particular person might want to do. Versus, I've been asked to do it. I've had opportunities for someone to say, I'll just write something for this. You know, but that's, for me, it's very difficult because when I'm playing, I feel something else. But someone's trying to keep it in a box where it's like, well, it's got to stay R&B, or it's got to stay very gospel oriented, or it's got to stay here, but I may not be feeling it. I feel something different. I got a different melody. I got a chord change. It's taking me here.
Yeah.
So that means it might be going outside of that, you know, that box all of a sudden.
Thank you.
This is the Sunday Jazz Spotlight on Gospel Jazz Radio. I'm Dwayne Benton. Let's take a break, and when we come back, we continue our conversation with Victor Caldwell, Grammy-winning producer and hitmaker. Next.
In sitcoms, when someone has a problem, they just blurt it out and move on.
Well, I lost my job and my parakeet is missing. How was your day?
But the real world is different. Managing life's challenges can be overwhelming. So, what do? We get support. The Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council have mental health resources available for you at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. See how much further you can go when you take care of your mental health. Your car is making a strange noise. No matter what it is, you can't just pretend it's not happening.
That's an interesting sound.
It's like your mental health. If you're struggling and feeling overwhelmed, it's important to do something about it. It can be as simple as talking to someone or just taking a deep, calming breath to ground yourself. Because once you start to address the problem, you can go so much further. The Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council have resources available for you at loveyourmindtoday.org.
Side notes. The new podcast from Gospel Jazz Radio, Get Inside the Backstories. Hear the conversations that never made it on the air or hear the interview all over again. Available on demand. Go to our website, gospeljazzradio.online now, or search your app store for Gospel Jazz Radio.
Welcome back to the Sunday Jazz Spotlight. I'm Dwayne Benton, and we're continuing our conversation and listening to the music of the one and only Victor Caldwell, an extraordinary, dynamic, hit-making producer.
We love his love, 'cause it makes us brand new. We love to say more than we love to do. In God we trust. Yeah, we say that it's true, but turn it around. Can God trust you? Ooh, 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 ooh. Oh, really?
often an artist comes to Victor and says, hey, listen, I'm working on a project. And are they coming with some thoughts and ideas, or are you guys getting into a think tank and y'all are putting it together?
I would say more than 50% of the time, we have already come up with something, and we just might hand them, like you said, the archive, pull out something. Is this something up your alley, something you might want to write to? Because a lot of times it'll be instrumental with a melody or instrumental without a melody, because a lot of times we work with people who like to write their own melodies. You know, so a lot of times it's already been formed, at least. Of course, that formulation of it can change. We can backtrack and say, okay, let's change this bridge to fit more of what that person is bringing to the table. But a lot of times we have already crafted out a song from top to bottom, you know, verse, chorus, bridge, whole nine yards, whether it's jazz oriented, very gospel heavily oriented, or R&B oriented, or whatever the case.
Right.
Now that's different when it comes to a song that's already written by somebody. Then basically you're just taking a song and, okay, let's put it in the R&B vibe, you know, kind of like when we work with Donnie. You know, he already had wrote Speak to My Heart.
Yeah.
And he had his version of it, which was with the New York Restoration Choir, which was, you know, gospel sounding.
Right.
But we took it to an R&B kind of feel. Let's go Luther Vandross with it.
Yeah, smooth jazz.
So we kind of took it there. You know, we know Luther to be R&B, but if you listen to it, it's got that smooth jazz R&B sound. It's got a jazzy kind of vibe to it also.
Yeah.
You know, because, of course, you know, Luther worked with all those people, Nate Adderley, Marcus Miller, those people. So it kind of takes on that kind of feel. And that's what we did. And it kind of crept in the rest, getting it back to the gospel as it went down the line in the song.
If someone had to, in the gospel world, in the music world, say, when your name is called, what do you think they associate you with musically?
Well, I mean, I guess it's according to who you ask, but there was a person who posted something like a month ago.
Yeah.
And he was kind of duplicating what I had done on the record that he heard that he just thought was phenomenal. And it was the New Jersey Mass Choir.
Wow.
It was a song on there called Follow Me.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but that guy is going to be that right there. That might be the thing that he heard that like hooked him. He said, man, I like the way that sounds. I like, because he commented on, I like the range, I like the placement of the part, I like the sound of the bass. He just talked about that. So for him, that's what grabbed his attention. So he's going to say, you know, the New Jersey Mass Choir.
Right.
With Donnie Harper, because that's who it was, Donnie Harper and the New Jersey Mass Choir.
Okay.
And it was a record I played on probably back in the 90s. Ben Tankin was the producer of it.
Okay.
Message of love, message of love, to encourage me, oh, oh. Heal my heart from despair. How you love me, care for me, speak to my heart, oh my,
speak to my heart.
That's what I want you to do,
speak to my heart,
cause I'm waiting to hear from you.
My heart.
Hey, that's what I want you to do.
My heart.
Speak to my heart, Lord. Oh, give me your holy word. If I can hear from you, then I'll know what to do. I won't go on. Never go on. Just let your spirit guide and let your word abide.
Speak to my heart, Lord.
Oh my, heart.
Give me your holy
word.
If I can hear from you,
if I can hear,
then I know what.
Then I know what to do.
I won't go alone.
So that I won't go alone.
I'm gonna go on.
I can hear from you,
and I know what to
do.
I want to call some names, and I just want your reaction to when I say these names. The first thing that comes to your mind. It's fine with me. Whatever you want to say. So, okay. You ready?
I don't know if I like this.
Oh, it's easy. Kirk Whalum.
I say phenomenal sax player, but really what I should say is a phenomenal musician.
Yeah.
Because he's more than just a sax player.
CeCe Winans.
Wonderful spirited singer.
Yeah. Angie Winans.
Loves being in the background and loves background singing.
Okay. All right. Okay. Let's see here. Marcus Miller.
I'm going to quote what one of his records says, master of the trades. Versus, I'm jack of all trades. He says master of the trades.
Yeah, he's master.
He's a very inspirational musician. Mm-hmm. That's the best thing I can say about him. When you listen to him, it inspires you to want to go practice, want to go play, want to go write, want to go do whatever it is you were getting hung up on and just felt like I'm done with this.
Yeah.
He will inspire you just by listening to him. Right. Not talking, listening to him play his music.
Yeah. Tell me who Victor considers a go-to artist for maybe inspiration, for motivation, quiet time. Who's Victor's favorite to go to?
He's one of them. Marcus Miller is one of my, he's without a doubt, an inspiration.
Yeah.
Another one of my inspirations, who no one knows at this point, is my daughter, who sings.
Oh, wow.
Because inspired to write for her. And you know, she's the inspiration because I see where she can take her gifts. I can see what she can do with what she does. So that's another person, you know. And she has a record out and she does stuff. But knowing her ideas and the phenomenal talent that I see in her, you know, that's inspiration for me. You know, for me to even keep going doing what I'm doing and keep writing because of what I see in her, what I know can come out of her.
Yeah, that next generation.
So it's like I'm never always the teacher. Sometimes I'm the student.
Yeah, that's good. It's great to be in that spot.
Yeah, so I'm trying to inspire, but at the same time, she's kind of teaching me what I need to keep doing. You know.
Yeah. You got a brand new single out. We're playing here on Gospel Jazz Radio. 3 days for me. Talk about
three
that.
3 days for me.
Yeah.
It's a tune that 3 days for me is written by three people. Sid, myself, and Kevin Wade.
Okay.
And the lyric was inspired by Kevin.
Yeah.
You know, he came up with the lyric.
I love it. Sounds good.
And, you know, and the music, it just kind of, that came together through Sid myself, but Kevin kind of taking something to Sid and him, you know, doing his thing, carving it out, and then him coming to me and doing the same thing, kind of putting it all together. And almost everything that we do, you know, there used to be that term called demo, and here's the record.
Yeah.
We don't do demo mode and that kind of thing. We just write everything as if it's coming out on the record.
Yeah.
We arrange it as if it's always something that's coming out. So we just take it and we just keep going with it till it's like, this is the way it ought to be. And that's kind of how we do everything we put our hands on. But that's just, you know, because you never know who's going to hear it.
Mm-hmm.
You never know where it's going to go. You never know who's going to like it exactly the way it is. And then you don't want to have to go back and say, well, I need to touch that up. You know, I need to fix that. Something you knew already knew you should have fixed back then.
Yeah.
Because that's the thing, that's what happened to I Will Always Love You.
Mm-hmm.
It was what they call a demo.
Okay.
On Whitney Houston. But Clive Davis heard it like it was and said, that's what we're going to put on the record.
Gotcha.
So, you know, so you playing something that you know could have been better or needed to be worked out before someone else heard it, the executive heard it or whoever, might not be the best thing to do. What you want to do is make sure what you're doing at the time when you're doing it is what you want to be heard.
Right.
Let me tell you of three beautiful days when a special man wiped your sins away.
You see, they hung him high and stretched him wide. He bowed his head and then he died.
Some will argue the truth, but those 2 days were just for you.
Did I hit a nerve? Did I strike a chord? Do you finally know why? Why I call him Lord? How are you feeling me? Is it sinking in? With him on my side, we can't help but win.
Now you know the truth, that those 2 days were just for you.
So you got a brand new project you're working on?
Yes, sir.
Tell me about the project.
I'm working with some of the same cast as the first two records. Kevin Whalum, of course, is one of those people. My daughter, because she's all over my first two doing vocals. I've got some drummers that I kind of normally use. James Blair.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think. I can't run down my friend this time for some reason. He's so busy doing his own solo thing. Paul Jackson Jr.
Yes.
He's on my first two records. He's hard to track down. But so far, you know, I'm having to kind of just do some things on keyboards to supplement for what I can't get from him because he's running around. The record itself is kind of, the record is talking about what you leave behind when you're done. Basically,
yeah, right.
Your legacy, basically.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so with that in mind, what are you doing? You know, and what should you be doing? That's
right.
Kind of the theme of it. You know, what are you doing that's going to make a difference? Because when you're gone, it's either going to, it's going to change somebody's life to be better. Is it closing doors to people? Because of the things that you have said, the things you've done, the life you've lived, because, you know, we're passing on things as we live. So it's kind of centered around that theme.
Gotcha.
And like I said, I'm kind of theme-oriented, so the rest of the record kind of flows the same way. And, of course, on the first two records, I always stick a song on there that's kind of geared toward my spouse. You know, I always put some on there that's kind of touching
on
my love about my wife. So.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
So I did that on the first record, did it on the second record, and it'll probably there'll probably be something on there on the third record. It hadn't hit me yet, but there'll be something, I'm sure. I've been working on some stuff for Kurt Whalen, and I've been doing that along with my daughter.
Okay.
Working on some. He, you know, he has that one record that he did. I don't know if you remember it. Love Covers.
Yeah.
Hashtag
absolutely.
Love Covers.
Absolutely.
He's talked about doing another one because I guess he got great response from the record and he's talked about doing another one. So we have been working on some things for that. Actually, a tune around that, you know, that whole title,
yeah,
kind of thing.
Yeah.
So, other than that, I'm spending tons of time doing things for my daughter, assisting her, and of course my own record. You know, and you know, I'm an adjunct, so I teach at a school too. Doing
the
spring.
No,
so
no,
I got
that
going on.
Yeah, you just got a handful.
Well, like I said, jack of all trades, but a master of none. It's hard to master, in my mind, it's hard to master something if you just got so much going on. But I feel inspired to do all the different things, and it keeps life interesting. My life is not boring because I got so many things going on.
That's a good thing.
I just have to make sure it's not too much on my plate.
Right.
That is overwhelming, and all of a sudden I start ruining all the things that I'm working on.
Victor Caldwell is our special guest on the Sunday Jazz Spotlight. He is a Grammy Award winning producer, jazz and gospel music hit maker, acclaimed jazz bassist. You just call it out. The guy has done it all. He's been to school to be an engineer. That's just how much he has really done. It has been a joy, Victor, to be with you. Any final thoughts? Any words you want to share?
Well, first, it's been my privilege to be on your show.
Thank you.
I thank you for having me. I thank you for your questions. I thank you for your responses, all of that. It was great being here talking about it. You know, I mean, it was a good take me away from what I'm about to do when I'm done.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
It's a good little break into action for me.
I'm super excited about your work.
My inspiration, you know, to anyone, ending thought would be, you know, do your passion. Do it to the best of your ability. Don't half step because of it will show itself. So, you know, regardless of the amount of money involved or the lack of money involved, always give 100%. That's what I always tell my daughter.
Absolutely.
It will come back on you. So just give your best. Know that you've done your best and keep it moving. You know.
That's awesome. Victor Caldwell is with us on the Sunday Jazz Spotlight. Thank you guys for listening. Remember to live each day as though it is your last, knowing that when you stand before the Father and the Son, that your testimony will be good and pleasing. Stay right there. You can hear this again tonight at 7 o'clock right here on the Sunday Jazz Spotlight. All right, hold tight. More gospel jazz coming your way.